The sermon text this morning from our gospel reading. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said, "Follow me." Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, in our text for today, I think there's a lot of building blocks. First of all, right, what's going on? Jesus finds Philip. Philip finds Nathanael. Okay, and what's going on with all of this finding? Everybody's going around, we're finding people. Jesus is finding people. Philip and Nathanael are being found. If we were to back up, just before this text, it's Andrew and Simon Peter. Okay, well, what is going on? Well, you know what's going on. Gospeling is going on. Evangelism is going on. And, you know, you think, well, what is the evangel and evangelizing? What is the evangel? That is a term that means the good news. So what's going on? The good newsing is going on. Now, what is that good news? The good news is that we are saved not of our own works, but we are saved through the person and the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so that is the good news. Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God in the flesh, came down from heaven, is bearing our sins, died for them, rose for them, right? Paid the price for them. And then we gospel people, we evangelize, we go and we tell about this. So this is what's going on. Now we're jumping ahead right now. When I say there's a lot of building blocks going on, there's a whole bunch in here that I think we, when we read it, we take this for granted. But maybe some other people wouldn't take it for granted. Okay, so let's see. First, there is the confidence that the cause. Now, remember, this is in the context of Philip going to Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. Right? You got to figure the context. Remember the context of what's going on. Okay, so we're coming into this with certain presuppositions, things we understand, things we see in this. Like first, we understand that the cosmos was created by God. Right? There is a confidence that we are a special creation of God. Now, as a special creation of God, we are loved by God, we are cared for by God, we are prized by God. And yet there is a problem, right? Because a lot of us, when we look at the world around us, don't see that. We don't feel that. It isn't always apparent that we are a special creation of God, loved and doted over by our Heavenly Father, right? As a matter of fact, it becomes quite apparent that the world is just a wee bit of a wreck. Okay, so now there's a kind of an issue going on here with this, right? So, okay, that's true enough, right? So the issues in the world, we know, again, here's what we're building blocks. We know the issues in the world are due to the fact that our first parents rebelled against God. They sinned against God. And this sin, their sin is transmitted to us through our parents. We call this original sin, right? It is an inherited sin, right? So, what did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? They tried to make things right. They tried to hide, right? They went out, they hid, and what else did they do, right? They sewed together fig leaves to cover their nakedness because they understood that they were naked and they felt shame, right? So they sewed together fig leaves to hide themselves from God. God was in the garden. Where are you? Where didn't you come? Well, I was hiding because I was scared. Okay, so we get this whole thing going on. Adam and Eve knew that they had separated themselves from God. Now, God, in the face of his defiant children, did not wipe them out. He did not say, well, heck with you, I'm starting over. Okay? First thing God does, and his reaction to all of this, is that he is going to send a mediator. First thing he does, he gives a promise that he is going to make things right between his fallen creation and himself. He is going to send a savior. He's going to send a mediator. He's going to send one who will repair the relationship between God and humanity. So what is our Bible? Right? What is our Bible then? Our Bible, all of the scriptures are the very history of how God fulfilled that promise to send the savior. So the law, right? Because this is what Philip and Bartholomew and all the disciples at this time, the New Testament wasn't written yet. So you constantly hear them referring to the scriptures. For them, the scriptures were what we call the Old Testament, right? So Philip and Nathanael. We see this in the history of how God fulfilled that promise to save. So the law, which was written by Moses, and all of the prophets were and are the vehicles that God chose to transmit His word of promise from one generation to the next, until in the course of time the Messiah did come. Right? So the word is exceptionally important. This is how God transmits His promise from one generation to the next generation. So what is going on? Because we are created by God, because we are a special creation of God, and we bear the image of God, although it is fallen, all human beings, every human being, have this sense of the other. Right? Let's just call it the other. There's something bigger than us out there. But this thing, we cannot find out what the other is without the special revelation of God. We need God's revelation to show us who He is. Right? So a natural knowledge of God doesn't get us all the way there. Now, probably this is why people feel as spiritual, and that's why there are many paths, quote-unquote, to God. Now, you and I know there is not many paths to God. There is only one way to God, right? But because humanity has this spiritual feeling, people come up with ways to God all on their own, right? But our task revolves around gospelizing people, making that word up, gospelizing people. What do? It has been revealed to us who the true God is. Our responsibility then is to go out and tell other people who the true God is. The good news is that we don't climb into heaven. The good news is that God came down to each and every one of us. Our focus is not on what we must do to be saved. In fact, we insist that there's nothing we can do to be saved. Isn't that what the word saved implies? Right? You gotta picture somebody floating in the ocean. Right, and they've maybe got a little life ring because their ship sank. Okay, so they got a little life ring with a rope on it. Okay, and you see this picture in, and another ship comes up to rescue people. Does the person floating, drowning in the ocean go, "I've got a rope here, catch it, catch it"? No, they don't save themselves. They need saved. The person on the ship either rows a boat out to them and lifts them out of the water, or they drop another life preserver out and they pull the person who needs saved in. So the very word saved implies that there's nothing we can do all on our own to do this. We need saved, right? But we believe that quite literally God does everything to save us. We do not find Him. He comes and He finds us. And how does this finding take place? Right. The finding takes place through His word. Creation is past. Redemption is accomplished through God's Christ, but what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit carries on this work of proclaiming the work of Jesus unceasingly to the last day. To do this, God has appointed a community on earth through which He speaks, through which He does His work. The Holy Spirit brings us into this community, and you and I know exactly what the name of this community is. The name of this community is church. This is what God does through the Holy work, the Holy Spirit does through His church, right? He imparts, He increases, He strengthens faith through the same word and the forgiveness of sins. This is what church does. This is what church exists for. Okay, so what does Jesus do in our text? We see what Jesus does. Jesus rises. Jesus goes. Jesus finds. Jesus calls. This is what is going on. Jesus does all these things. Christ and the gospel messengers do what? They keep finding people. That is what we do. Right? Jesus' word to Philip is, follow me. The gospel call, the gospel imperative is effective in Philip. Right? So this presupposes the gospel word. Exactly what Philip has said. We've been in the scriptures. We understand the scriptures. We're looking for the Messiah. Boom. The Messiah says, follow me. He follows the Messiah. Right? And what is the first reaction of Philip? He hustles off and he finds Nathanael. Right? And what does he tell Nathanael? He says, just think of whom we have encountered. I've got to tell you this. The one we've been waiting for. The one we've been waiting for. The long promised Messiah has come. This is how it works. Found, tell. Found, tell somebody else. Found, tell somebody else. Right? And when when Philip says, "We have found," who is we? Andrew, right, at this point? Andrew, Simon Peter, Nathaniel, right? Church. There's the church right there. Right now, the church consists of four people. But it's still church. They went, they found, they told. Right? With one of whom Moses and the prophets write. The longed for Messiah is here. Where did the message reside? The message resided in the Word of God. And the effective call of God is in the Word of God. And the waiters of the promise, those who are waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, are found by the Word. They are worked on through the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. Now, think of Nathanael's response. What is Nathanael's response to what Philip says? Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, I think what he's saying here is something to the effect of, what can you expect from Podunk? Okay? Like, you're expecting Jerusalem. Oh, yeah, the Messiah will come from Jerusalem. You know? It's like us picking some little small town around here and saying, the next president is from this little small town. Really? You've got to be kidding me. Okay, now what is Philip's response to what Nathanael says? He doesn't try and argue Nathanael into the kingdom of God. He doesn't try and cajole Philip into the, or Nathanael into the kingdom of God. What does he say? He says, come and see. Come and see. Philip wants the Word to do its work. He invites Nathanael to see the Word made flesh. Now here's something that has played out in each and every one of our lives. The Holy Spirit has worked faith in our lives through the Word and the sacraments. Isn't this the activity of Philip? Right? This activity of Philip, isn't this the exact same thing that has been done in your life and it has been done for you? Right? What else is baptism? Isn't that what baptism is? Okay, this is very important right here. Right? Who are you? You are Israel. That's who you are. You are Israel. Okay? And what is Israel? Israel is the one who trusts in the promise of God. Where have we sat? We have sat under the fig tree of sin. Remember what Adam and Eve sowed together? To cover up their sin, they sowed together fig leaves. So now we maybe have a euphemism for being under sin. Under the fig tree. I saw you under the fig tree. Right? I saw you under sin. Okay, so the fig leaves are symbolic of what? They're symbolic of sin. I saw you under the burden of sin. What does Jesus recognize in Nathanael? Jesus recognizes in Nathanael a truster of forgiveness, a truster of the promise, right? A true Israelite. And what does a true Israelite do? A true Israelite trusts in the promises of God. So as church, as the new Israel, we are same with Nathanael. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What are we? We are the trusters in the forgiveness of our sins. I don't think many people who are believers in God, believers in Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, doubt Jesus. We don't doubt Him very much. But one thing we do doubt is our response to Jesus. Right? Because sometimes our response to Jesus really isn't all that stellar. And we're pretty upset with ourselves for the sins that we still have and the sins we still commit. But what do we do in response to that? We are trusters in the promise. Trusters in the forgiveness of our sins. Right? Now, baptism then is the wonderful promise, the wonderful, wonderful display of all of this at work, right? It's a wonderful picture of this. Jesus has found each and every one of you. That's what has happened in your life. Jesus has found you. Okay? He found us through His Word. He found you through your parents, for the vast majority of us. He found you sitting under the fig tree of original sin. And then He then rescued you, and you became a Philip yourself. In other words, you became one who went and told, I have seen the Messiah. Would you please come and see the Messiah with me? Right? So when our children are born, what do? When we bring them to the baptismal font, we are evangelizing them. We are good newsing them. That is what we are doing when we bring our children to the baptismal font. So picture holding your son. Picture holding your daughter, your baby. Okay? So we're holding. You're holding your child, right? And you're bringing them to the waters of holy baptism. What are you saying? What exactly is going on? What are you saying there? Here's what you're saying. Come, little one. Come and see. Come, my daughter, my son, I have something to show you. Not a something, I have a someone for you to meet. You are coming to meet your salvation. You are coming to see the King of Israel. Now a baby cannot be reasoned into the kingdom of God. A baby cannot be convinced into the kingdom of God. A baby cannot choose the kingdom of God. Instead, like Nathaniel, they are brought to see the Savior. They are brought to the kingdom of God. That child, your child, anyone being baptized there in the sacrament meets Jesus in the water and in the Word. And that is where Jesus comes to them and meets them. And they are made a child of God. What is Jesus' word? Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is how disciples of Jesus are made. The Holy Spirit works in baptism there where the Word is made visible to us in, with, and through the water, and there the power of God is made known. It is only through the power of the Word that you and I come to Jesus Christ. What is God's will? God's will is to call individuals to eternal salvation, to draw them to Himself, to convert them and give them new birth and sanctify them through the means of the Word and in no other way. That's how God has chosen to work for us. And what do we do for the rest of our lives? We bring our children to Sunday school, right? We bring them to worship. We bring them to Sunday school. We take them to Bible study. We ourselves put our noses in our Bibles. Right? We continue to bring our children to see the Lord and to encounter Him as they do, right? They are taking to heart the Word. They are taking to heart the sacred Scriptures. They are learning to confess things like the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, the very words of God in the Holy Scriptures. Right? They are coming to understand the right use of God's sacraments. And if perchance they should just stray from the flock, right? What is our answer to that? What shall we do? Well, no amount of threats, no amount of cajoling or begging will work. We simply invite them to be in the Word. If they are straying, son, daughter, you need to be back into the Word. Be in the Word. Let the Word challenge your doubts. Let the Word challenge you. Be in the Word where you will encounter your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Study the Word, examine the Word, and there in the Word you will meet your Savior yet again. The Jesus who constantly pursues them. The Jesus who constantly calls to them. Dear friends in Christ, we cannot force anybody into the true faith. We cannot force anyone to have faith in Jesus Christ. The world must encounter Christ. The world must be invited to come and see for themselves. And since it is the Word that the Holy Spirit works through, then we use the Word of God to do that. Be yourselves armed with that Word of God. Read that Word of God. Ponder that Word of God. Evangelize people with that Word of God. It is the Word that works. Once faith has arisen, then love and good works follow that. Love and good works follow faith. They don't precede it, they follow it. But I think right now that's something to work through another day. For our purposes this morning, Jesus finds, Jesus calls, we respond, we find, we call through the Word. We invite others. Come. Come and see. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.